I enunciate every syllable, letting my lips fall in a pout. He notices. The wheels turning in his head, he thinks for a long moment before responding.
And what may those be?
He asks. Do you really want to know?
You're damn right I do.
I lean in so close I can feel the heat of his breath on my face. I teach yoga tonight, Mr. Landry. Is that all right with you?
Is this a co-ed class by any chance?
Why? You want to come? His chest rumbles, his gaze turning wicked.
Oh, baby, do I ever.
A sound booms behind Graham, interrupting me. Graham shoves off my desk and I look around him to see Ford walking in.
Did I interrupt something?
He grins.
Just letting Mallory know you and Dad are coming in this morning to go over the final security plans. She's making sure my morning is open until lunchtime.
He glances at me and I nod.
What time is Dad coming? He should be here any minute.
Ford stands alongside his brother and smiles knowingly at me.
How are you?
Good. I return his smile and keep it as unnoteworthy as possible. As much like my thighs aren't burning to be separated by his brother, I can manage. How are you this morning?
Not as good as you, I don't think.
He tosses me a wink before looking at his brother.
I'll wait in the conference room. Are we using the one down the hall? Yeah, I'll be in there in a few minutes. Let me take care of a few things and grab the files. You go take care of those things. I'd hate for you to be distracted.
Ford leaves, chuckling under his breath. Once he's gone, Graham shoves his hands in his pockets and turns around. He studies me carefully, like he's not sure what to say. Graham, listen, I begin. I'm sorry about all of this. I mean, I'm not sorry. Friday was amazing, and I might have... I start, then stop.
You might have what?
He smirks. Nothing, I smirk back. On a serious note, I don't want this to blow back on me. I need this job. I like working here. Maybe we could transfer me to another department or something? He bites the inside of his jaw.
No,
he says on an exhale.
That'll never work. I think that would cause more problems than just leaving you here, actually.
Really? I was thinking maybe it would just put us out of sight, out of mind.
I didn't see you all weekend, and I couldn't get you out of my mind.
He admits guiltily. Forcing a swallow, I try to keep myself steady. The air thickens around us, white noise flowing past my ears. I couldn't get you out of mine either.
We found ourselves in quite a predicament.
He sits on the corner of my desk, his face sobering.
I need a little bit of time to get this figured out. I need you to work here. You fit in our company perfectly. But I do need to concentrate, and I don't know how to swing that.
Our gazes hold on to the admissions, the energy between us crackling. His features soften, and I want to reach out and touch his face, feel the smoothness of his cheeks, but I don't.
Is my schedule clear today?
He asks. I cleared it on Friday. Ford called and mentioned the meeting, so I went ahead and rearranged things. I also dug out a few files I thought you may need based on my conversation with your brother. Graham's brows shoot to the ceiling.
Very good.
He stands and disappears into my office. When he returns, he motions for me to follow.
This should take most of the morning. Take notes, ask questions if you don't understand something, and try to breathe.
He leans in and smiles.
Don't forget to breathe.
Will do. And Graham? I ask, when his hand hits the door.
Yeah?
I want you to know something.
What's that?
You look incredible today. The corner of his lip tugs up.
Thank you. So do you.
I'm not sure how I'm going to handle this visual and then seeing you in action. I might have to... You know, I wink. His eyes blaze, his hand falling off the door.
You wouldn't dare.
No, probably not. I shrug playfully.
Don't you even think about it.
Well, it wouldn't technically be in your office, so it wouldn't be against the rules.
The rules are now amended to include all Landry property.
He declares. I sigh, looking at him through my lashes.
Mallory, for the love of God, stop fucking with me. I need to concentrate.
The door flies open and we start down the hall. Employees step to the side as we make our way down. Mutterings of good morning, Mr. Landry, with a few swoons from women clasping notebooks to their chest, can be heard as we pass by. Once we reach the end of the hallway, he turns to me.
Behave.
Before I can answer, the door is open and inside we go. Chapter 15. Mallory. A long marble table the color of sand extends the length of the conference room. Ford and his father sit across from each other. Graham and I sit at either end. The security meeting has lasted 3 hours, most of which I've sat and watched Graham in action. His brain works so fast, his intelligence so apparent, that I'm awestruck. I've worked with bright men before, but nothing like this. He's on another level with facts, figures, insights that blow my mind. How does one man, at his age no less, have so much knowledge? Everything Ford or Mr. Landry ask, Graham has the answer. He seems to have thought and researched this from every possible angle, and I'm beyond impressed. And beyond turned on.
All we need to close up this piece are the numbers for the insurance. Do you have them?
Mr. Landry asks, turning to Graham. He starts to flip through his files, his forehead crinkled perfectly. He doesn't have them. I do. In our little banter this morning, he left them on my desk. You had me bring them, Graham, I say, sliding the file to his father. Remember? A look of relief washes over his face.
Oh, thank you, Mallory.
You're welcome. Also, I say, pulling out a notepad, I found this in Linda's drawer. It looks like there were notes taken by someone at some point in a meeting about training courses and different licenses.
We've been looking for that.
Ford exclaims as I scoot the legal pad down the table to him.
We've looked everywhere. With Graham's assistant merry-go-round, we didn't know where these went.
They were in a file buried in the back of my desk, I explain. There's no notation on them at all to indicate what they're for. I just knew because I've been working with you all on this. Mr. Landry peers at me much the same way Graham does.
How long have you worked here?
Not long, I reply, looking at Graham. He's almost beaming at me. A couple of weeks?
I like you,
he says, almost like an afterthought as he flips through the file.
These insurance numbers look great. Let's get some lunch and then get started on location. I really like that one downtown, but I know Ford prefers the one on Woodrose Avenue.
They all start to stand and I clear my throat. I hope it's not out of line, but I ordered you all lunch. It should be here in about 20 minutes.
You did?
Graham asks. You told me this would last through the morning. I shrug. Not taking a lunch break will expedite this. That's what you want, right, Ford?
Yeah.
He says, grinning at me.
Thanks, Mallory.
No problem.
Graham, if you ever want to get rid of Mallory, I'll take her.
Graham flashes his brother a look that only makes him laugh.
I was kidding.
Ford says.
But not kidding. If this doesn't work out.
He says, looking at me.
I have this company I'm starting. She's employed.
Graham says.
Boys.
Mr. Landry interjects, silencing them both.
She's sitting right here.
He looks at me and smiles.
And she's not stupid. If you need a job, I'll hire you.
We all laugh before they return to their discussions about location and square footage, and I find myself spacing out while I watch my boss. His fingers twist a pen, flipping it back and forth, while volleying ideas with his family members. The way they defer to him, ask for his opinions, the way he's ready with a plan for every possible path is such a turn-on. I take my hands off the table and place them in my lap. The movement gets Graham's attention, but he doesn't miss a beat. He continues his little speech on utility prices, his eyes trained on mine. I hold his gaze, widening my eyes, teasing him. I could never go through with this here, not in front of his brother and father, but he doesn't know that. And this is fun. Graham's head cocks to the side in a silent warning, and I can't help but smirk. I wiggle my eyebrows and watch his lips press together. He clears his throat, shifting in his seat. I form an O with my lips and wink at Graham. That does it. In one swift movement, he stands. His brother and father lean back, puzzled.
Is everything okay?
Mr. Landry asks.
Graham, I need to get something from my office. Excuse me.
He gruffs, storming out of the door. I bolt upright, not sure what to make of that. When they look at me, I shrug. He didn't have a lot of coffee this morning, I offer weakly. Ford chuckles.
He seemed a little preoccupied when I got here today. I think he was focused. And I know when I'm thinking about work like that.
He grins cheekily.
Coffee gets easily overlooked. Graham doesn't have a drive that's hard to find.
Mr. Landry offers. Ford tries to stifle a laugh.
Would you agree, Mallory?
Most definitely. I agree.
He's acting odd today.
Mr. Landry comments to Ford.
Is he acting all right with you? He's fine, Dad. Don't worry about him. I don't usually.
Mr. Landry says, shaking his head.
He has his shit together more than any of you boys, which concerns me today when I see him like this.
He's interrupted by a buzzing sound loud in the air.
Mallory, would you see me in my office, please?
Graham's voice is clear and not without a brusqueness that's impossible to miss. Sure, I'll be right there. I stand, smoothing down my dress. The intercom disconnects with a thump. I move the creamer on him, a joke. I'll be right back, gentlemen. I feel their gazes on my back as I exit, and weave through the people standing in the halls on their lunch break. Once I enter my office, I see his doors are open. A feeling of anticipation lingers in the air. I approach the doorway and find him standing next to his desk, his tie loose around his neck, his hair ruffled. His jaw is set as his gaze sweeps over me.
What the fuck are you doing?
He asks. I was still taking notes. I was doing my job.
You were fingering yourself.
You don't know that. He storms towards me, grabbing the edge of the door and slamming it behind me, locking it with a flourish.
If I touch you now, will you be wet?
Like that has anything to do with if I was touching myself or not, I say. Just looking at you. I'm against the wall, the force causing the painting over the love seat to shake. His lips are all over mine, my jaw, down my neck to my chest. Oh, God, I moan, soaking in the way his hands roam my body, my arms, my cheeks, down my chest, and then over to my sides. In a swift motion, his hands are palming my ass and lifting me. Instinctively, I wrap my legs around his waist as he picks me up, pinning me against the wall. He kisses me senseless, and I go right back at him, working frantically at the buttons of his shirt. I'm whirled in a circle as he walks me backwards. I jerk his shirt free from his pants and fumble for the last button. Before I can get it undone, he drops me on the love seat. Lying back, my breathing all over the place, I look up at him. His hair is sticking up everywhere, his jacket half off, his shirt completely askew like he was just mugged. It's hot as hell. He gets on his knees, dragging my left leg and tossing it over his shoulder. A grin lifts the corner of his lips.
You need a release, baby?
He asks. My legs are spread, my pussy wide open for him. It seems like I should care, that I should feel some sort of self-consciousness, but I don't. I just don't. Your brother and Dad are in the conference room. I say as clearly as I can.
You don't think Ford knows what's happening in here?
He drags a finger up the inside of my thigh.
He'll keep Dad busy.
His finger drifts over my opening, touching it just lightly enough that I shiver.
This is what you wanted, isn't it?
I can't answer him. I can't even look at him. All I can do is lie back, my dress straddling my waist, and wait for any touch he'll give me. I don't have to wait long. His palm lies flat along my stomach, his thumb finding my clit. The push, steady and firm, is enough to almost make me yelp.
Shh.
He snickers.
It's the middle of the day, Miss Sims. You don't want an audience, do you?
I don't care, I say, bucking against his hand.
No, but I do.
He replies.
I don't want some fuckhead making copies to hear you moan my name. And you will be moaning my name.
He swirls the pad of his thumb over me before grabbing my hips and planting his face between my legs. Ah! I moan as he sucks me into his mouth. Oh, God. Graham.
Told you.
I think I'm going to melt against his face, completely lose control from the contact of his tongue parting me. When I look down and see that he's watching me, I nearly die. Grabbing his hair, I pop myself up as much as I can and watch this man's face between my legs. Do I taste good? He hums against my opening before flicking his tongue against me. The sensation is incredible. He slides his hands under me, lifting my hips so my pussy is angled right at his mouth. I can hear him sucking me, lapping against me, stroking me with his tongue. Just when I think I can't take it anymore, he inserts a finger, twisting it in a come-here fashion. Ah, Graham, I groan, short of breath. My hands weave through his hair, pushing his face into me. Another finger goes in, the rigidity of the digits such a contrast to the softness of his mouth. He strokes in and out of me, this powerful man in a suit kneeling under me.
You like that?
He asks, drawing his fingers out and shoving them back in.
Does that make you want my cock?
Yes, I moan, begging for more friction.
Too bad.
I want to argue, to beg him to undress and climb on top of me, but I can't form words as his strokes bring me higher and higher.
The next time I tell you to not do something, fucking listen.
I just... My head falls back, my hands finding my breasts and cupping them together. Oh my god!
Be quiet or I'll stop.
Biting down on my lip, my back arched, I feel myself start to near the edge of no return.
You drive me fucking crazy,
he says, his tone completely controlled.
I don't know what to do with you.
Do this to me, I beg. Oh, please, he smirks.
I'm going to make you come now. I'm going to watch you completely lose control of my hand. I want you to remember who controls this. Got it?
He's purposefully not getting me off, holding back just enough so I can't come until he says so. Graham, I groan, my insides clenching, trying desperately to get enough friction to burst apart. Please.
Who is in control of this, Mallory?
You, I bite out.
Who says when you come?
You fucking do, I huff, spreading my legs farther. No, no, do it.
You take orders pitifully,
he says, but gives in and within four strokes has me coming all over him.
Chapter 16. Graham. Lincoln's prenuptial agreement is in my hands. It takes all of 3 seconds to read it. A heavy, bold X strikes through each page with an arrow indicating I should turn the document over on the last one. I do, and see this scratched out in Lincoln's handwriting. I, Lincoln fucking Landry, will not make my girl sign some stupid piece of paper, letting her know if she leaves me, she can't have my money. Truth is, if she goes, she may as well take all the cash I worked so hard for, because who would give a shit at that point? And I have you. You can make me more. I know you're making that face you make when you think I'm making a really bad choice. Worse than the last time I used duct tape to keep the braid Sienna put in the dog's hair in place. But I got this. Relax. I mean, if I'm wrong, you will be right, and we all know how much that makes you happy. Thanks for looking out for me, G. You'll be my best man, right? I don't know whether to laugh or call him and rip his ass. This is utterly stupid, to not protect your interests when combining your life with someone else's. But it's Lincoln's, and as much as I hate to admit it, I'm not entirely surprised he's going this route. Mallory's voice trickles in through the door I left cracked open for that sole purpose. Having her out there is a godsend professionally. Sometimes I sit at my desk and listen to her make phone calls, take care of issues, deny people entry to my office in awe. Linda was good. Mallory is great. If that's all it is, I'd be fine. But it's not. I know it, and I can't fix it, and it drives me absolutely mad. Hearing her a few feet away does the same thing for me that watching Vanessa teach philosophy did in college. There's nothing sexier than a woman with a brain, but it's more. It's an unraveling of my wits, a chirping away at my concentration, a veering into the dark, uncharted waters of a place in my life I am not ready to go. I wasn't ready with Vanessa. I had so much to do, so many balls to juggle, but I tried. As they fell to the ground and shattered, I knew things would never look the same to me again. I'd lost the ability to see things through rose-colored glasses. My naivety was stripped the day her truths were told. As I sit, one leg resting on the knee of the other and feeling the warm sunlight shine on my face, I listen to Mallory and feel my walls crumble. They aren't barriers to keep people out. I've let many women inside over the years, just in carefully timed, preconceived ways. I couldn't do that with Vanessa. It was all or nothing, just like I fear it would be with Mallory. The loss of complete control, and I can never do it all again.
Graham?
A knock at the door raps through the room, and I glance that way. Mallory's standing there, her head resting on the doorframe, a soft smile touching her lips.
It's 5. I'm gonna head out.
Come in here for a second. I sit up and watch her move across my office, a feeling of warmth drifting through my core that unsettles me. Besides your little outburst, I'm really proud of how you did today with my father and Ford. You made me look good. Her cheeks flush.
I just made sure all of your ideas and plans were in line. Today was all about you.
She sits on the edge of the chair across from me. Today was about Ford.
You should celebrate. Maybe with pancakes?
You didn't bring me any, or I would.
I didn't have time.
She scoffs.
I'm not a super morning person, even though today was actually decent.
I love mornings. Every day is a fresh start. She shrugs.
I guess I've not always had a lot to look forward to.
I'd venture to say, I tell her, leaning against my desk, that you have a lot to look forward to. Your whole life is in front of you.
True.
She says it, but she doesn't believe it. Yes, it's true, I insist. You can get up every day and decide what you're going to accomplish, what goals you're going to work towards. Think about that. Every morning is an opportunity to change what you aren't happy with.
My head hurts.
She laughs.
Today was a long one.
You have yoga tonight, is that right? She nods.
I do. I need it. I'm teaching an all-girls class, but if you want to come, I'll make an exception.
No yoga for me, I grin. Come on, I'll walk you to your car. I know how much you hate being late. I gather my things, listening to her ramble about essential oils and yoga, and we walk to the elevator. I don't listen to the words, just hear the delight in her voice. This is what I found myself craving, more than anything else, late at night when I'm home alone. The elevator is packed. We squeeze in and ride to the executive parking floor. When we exit, it's empty. Her shoes tap against the concrete as we make our way to a small 4-door red compact car.
This is it,
she says, unlocking it with a key.
Yeah, I know,
she sighs. I didn't even know car doors could be opened with keys anymore.
This one can,
she laughs.
I had a newer car with Eric, but I couldn't afford the payments, so I left it with him. This beauty gets me where I'm going.
Does she? I give the vehicle a quick once-over as discreetly as I can. It's probably more than 10 years old and looks like something a greasy-haired used car salesman would sell you, only to have it break down a week later. How long have you had this?
A couple of weeks. It's fine. Not fancy, but good.
She looks at the floor, and I realize she's embarrassed. Hey, I say, lifting her chin so she's looking at me. Don't.
Don't what?
Don't get that look on your face.
Don't feel pity for me,
she says, brushing my hand away.
I'm driving this hunk of metal because I choose to. That alone, that I made the choice to do this, it means a lot to me.
I look at her in disbelief. How many people do what she did? Realize they deserve more and leave behind everything they have for a life that's harder. At least materially. I respect that, I say, my tone somber.
Yeah, well, I'll remember how respectable it is when I'm trying to figure out how to add windshield wiper fluid.
Tossing her bag in her car, I hear a crunch. There are a host of takeout bags and styrofoam cups littering her passenger seat and floorboard.
That bothers you, doesn't it?
She giggles. I know what you're getting as a Christmas bonus.
What's that?
Your fucking car cleaned. Just, I can't take it. Stalking back to the elevator, I grab the plastic garbage can and haul it across the parking lot. It squeals as the bottom rips along the pavement.
Graham!
She shouts over the ruckus.
What are you doing?
Shaking my head, I nudge her out of the way. My God, Mallory, I groan. Bag after bag, cup after cup, napkin after napkin of plastic that are semi-damp get swiped up and dumped into the can behind me. I'm leaned across her console, the crunch of the debris muddling the sound of her objections. The carpet is a mess, and there's a weird smell that reminds me of bacon, but at least you can see the carpet now. Making a face, I climb out of the driver's seat and dispose of the last items in my hands. That is a fucking disaster. Park in the front tomorrow morning and I'll have someone shampoo it out.
You will not.
Oh, I will. I'll consider it a gift to humanity.
You're such an ass,
she says, smacking my chest. I catch her hand and pull her into me. It's automatic. Such a natural move that it catches us both off guard.
There are probably cameras out here, Mr. Landry.
What's that supposed to mean?
That means I know that look in your eye.
You're safe, I sigh. I can't throw you on the console of your car. I'm afraid your face will get stuck in syrup or something. She rolls her eyes and climbs inside.
I'm gonna be late to class. I'll see you in the morning.
I close the door behind her and step away so she can pull out. She gives me a little wave and a beep of the horn as she drives, entirely too fast, out of the garage. As her taillights get farther away, a sense of loneliness begins to filter my way. There's no longer the smell of lavender, the sound of her making fun of me, or the twinkle in her eye that makes me want to ask her a question so she'll talk to me. Tension stretches across my shoulders, tugging my muscles tight. With the stiffness comes a pulsing sensation behind my left eye, indicating that I'm on the cusp of one hell of a headache. Everything is out of order. The pieces of my life are strewn around worse than the contents on our floorboard, and I can't shuffle them back in place fast enough. My desk is still loaded with papers, Lincoln's refusal to be sane, and Ford Security Company to deal with. Typically, I wait for this moment. Everyone gone, everything quiet, and I can really dig in. Now I can't because I have another, potentially worse issue at hand. I need Mallory around as badly as I need to put distance between us. The pull coming harder in my temple, I head to the elevator and press the button. While I wait, I type out a text. Thank you for asking me to be your best man in such a brotherly way. Lincoln. Don't kid either of us. You love that I picked you over Baird and Ford. Well, it only makes sense to pick me. How do you figure? Well, I'm the one settling in to spend the evening getting a plan together to save your ass in case everything goes south. Do me a favor. What, Link? Get a drink. Because as wound up as you get, you'll be dead before I'd need you to implement that plan and then I'd really be fucked. Always about you, isn't it? Hell yeah. Oh, Ford said you got it on in the middle of a meeting today. Can I say I'm super proud of you? Talk to you later. Wait, you can't jump my ass and then ignore me. This is the day Graham proves he's human. Let's discuss. Should I grab some pizza and meet you at the office? Laughing, I turn my phone off and slip it in my jacket. I step in the elevator and head to my office. Hopefully to work and not to think about Mallory.
Mallory. There you are, Joy chirps. I hurry inside the yoga studio and toss my things against the wall. Tonight's class, thankfully, is one of the smaller ones and no one is early. I was thinking you weren't coming, Joy remarks. You said you were on your way 40 minutes ago. I plop on the mat and look at my friend. Does it really matter what made me late? Nope, it's how you roll. I take that back, she snickers. It's unless you were getting all hot and sweaty with Boss Man. In that case, I want every detail. Don't leave anything out. Rolling onto my mat face first, I pretend to stretch out my lower back. It does feel good, but it actually gives me time to figure out how to keep my face blank around Joy. I could tell her about Graham. If it were anyone else, no doubt I would. I always have, but this time, I want to keep it for me. This time it feels different. I'm not sure what it is, although it certainly doesn't feel like just sex. Not quite. Sex is insertion, an act, and then it's done. It's not walks to my car. He could have me without the little looks during the day, without taking the trash out of my floorboard. But what does that mean? I have no idea. How did things go today? She asks. She's prodding for information, the tone in her voice giving her away. Anything new with Graham? No, nothing's new with Graham, I sigh. He's my boss, Joy. Oh, so something did happen. What on earth are you talking about? You're defensive. The last time we talked about this, you were all, he's so hot. Now you're acting like I'm ridiculous for bringing it up. That means you're deflecting. Heaving a breath, I roll onto my back and look at the spackled ceiling in desperate need of a paint job. Things haven't been purely professional, I admit.
I knew it, she shrieks. My God, is he as good as I think he is? He is, isn't he?
Joy, I almost whine. I feel like she's forcing me to talk, and I hate that. Can we not talk about this?
Why?
Struggling to sit up, I try to come up with an explanation that she can understand, that I can understand. Have you ever not wanted to talk about something until you can get your head wrapped around it?
No, she mutters. I always call you and have you help me figure it out.
I toss her a pathetic smile. I know. I do you too, but I don't know what to make of this, and I'm really afraid getting your input is going to make it harder.
I give good advice.
You do, I laugh. But everything when it comes to him is pro-Graham. I don't fault you for it. Look at him. I shrug. But I need to make sure I'm looking at this pro-Mallory. Does that make sense? Joy grabs her water bottle and squeezes some into her mouth.
It does. But you know I'm pro-Mallory, right?
Always. I stand and stretch my arms over my head. I'm going to the bathroom before everyone gets here. Jogging across the mats and through the doors to the vacant hallway, I stand with my back against the cool brick. My mind goes to Graham, like it does any time I'm not specifically thinking of something else. I like him. I like him way more than I want to admit. Even more problematic, the more time I spend with him, the more time I want to spend with him. But am I getting jaded by the TDH, tall, dark, and handsome? Am I being wrapped up in the Landry spell and not seeing things like a logical human being? He's my boss, a CEO. I'm a dropout with no plan. What could possibly come out of this long term? Not much. Besides orgasms. There's nothing wrong with having fun with Graham. We're two consenting adults, but I need to remember that no matter how easy it is to become infatuated with him, I have to keep my head clear. I can't get wrapped up in this and then be gobsmacked when it doesn't work out. There's nothing to work out. This is fun. Just fun.
What are you doing out here?
I look up to see Sienna propping the door open with her hip. Hey, I say, shoving off the wall. I was just taking a couple of minutes to regroup. Joy can kind of be overwhelming.
She really can. I love her to pieces, but she just attacks.
She laughs.
You okay?
Yeah, I was just thinking, I say, going through the open door and leading Sienna to our mats. After I figure everything out, I think I want to start my own yoga studio.
I think that would be cool, Sienna says. It's a big thing in L.A., you know. You could always head west and come live with me. Free rent, free food, because my mom orders groceries to be delivered to my house. Is that not crazy?
Sounds fun, I note. I think I need a little time on my own. I've never had that. It has to be good for a girl, doesn't it?
Sure, but it's also good for a girl to know people around her care about her and are there for her.
She faces me head on, so her back is to Joy and Camilla.
You're okay, right? I know you don't want to talk about everything in front of them, but I also know how working for my brothers can be. My mom made me intern at Landry Holdings one summer in high school. She called it character building. I called it hell.
I laugh, imagining her purple-streaked hair and pink nails fitting in at the office.
It's not for everyone.
No, it's not. She peers in my eyes, much like her brother does when he's trying to read my mind.
I haven't seen you have this much pink in your cheeks since you got home. You look happy, Mal.
I am. A flutter of butterflies kicks up in my belly, and I can't wipe the cheesy smile off my face.
It feels really good to be in charge of my day, to really have options in front of me and know I'm the one that gets to decide what I do and who I do. I wink.
I don't want to know. She tosses a toned arm around me and rests her head against mine.
You know what? Fuck Eric.
You know, she's probably thinking about fucking your brother,
Joy chimes in, making us laugh.
Chapter 17. Graham. My glasses bounce off the papers and rattle as they fall off the stack and land on the desktop. Ugh, I groan, covering my face with my hands and massaging my temples. I can feel the start of a major headache stretching across the front of my face. There isn't enough stretching or miles with Ford to work out the kinks from today. Not helping matters is that I got maybe 3 hours sleep last night. Maybe three. Probably not. After dinner with my mother, a brainstorming session with Barrett, listening to Sienna present reasons why she should be allowed to start her own company since Ford is, and then finding a huge error in the bid for equipment for Landry Security, there was not enough time in the day. Especially when I used whatever remaining seconds left, and a quarter of the ones I didn't have to spare, thinking about Mallory. It's not as bad when we're at work. She's here, I'm here. She's within reach, however stupid that sounds. Not that I can reach, but just knowing I could and no one else has access gives me a sense of comfort. Add that to the top of my stress load. I can't be worrying about this, I grumble. She came in here like the chorus of a song, blasting her way in my life and falling into my arms. And I, the stupid motherfucker I am, didn't let go. I say I couldn't, but I could've. I should've, but I didn't. The worst part is, I know why. Her damn eyes. I've only seen one pair like that in my entire life. Although those were green and Mallory's are gold, they're the same in the ways that count. The only two eyes that look at me and see me. The whole package, not just a piece of it. That's what makes her irresistible. That's what makes me insane. That's what makes this whole damn thing perilous.
Hey.
I look up and see her poking her head around my office door.
Do you need anything?
Of course I do. I need so much that I can't have. The things I need are the things that will ruin me. I'm good, I say, giving her the best smile I can manage. Her nails tap against the wood before she steps inside and pulls her brows together.
You're not okay.
I lean forward on my desk, folding my hands in front of me. My smile now is genuine, a warmth spreading over my core. Not because she's beautiful or sassy or giving me that look that I've come to find so amusing, but because she cares. I'm okay, Mallory. She shakes her head.
You've been quiet all day. Weirder than usual.
I'm weird, I chuckle.
Yeah,
she says, exasperated.
You look like you're walking this line all the time. Like you're afraid someone will see you move a certain way or say a certain thing and ruin everything. But today, you haven't said more than 10 words to me.
She attempts to make me believe this doesn't bother her. The sadness just below the surface, it's enough to take all that warmth I felt 2 seconds ago and drown it in a pit of ice water. I'm sorry, I say. I just... today's been hell.
Can I help? Tell me what to do and I'll do it.
Just keep doing what you do. I hope she hears the professional aspect of that and not the edge of the rest. Not the fact that I'm starting to rely on her presence, her smile, her laugh more than I even care to admit.
I'll be right back,
she says, spinning on her heel and walking out. I hear things rustle before she reappears. In a gray dress with pockets on the sides, she looks like a professional administrative assistant, with a can of soda in one hand and a protein bar in the other. What are you doing? I lean back in my seat as she sets the items in front of me.
You need a pick-me-up. Here, eat this.
Do you not see the irony in a sugar-filled soda and a protein bar?
It's called balance,
she says, circling behind me. Her fingers dip beneath the collar of my jacket and tenderly grasp the back of my neck.
You need a little balance and a little relaxation.
She works my muscles back and forth, her thumbs rolling up and down my skin.
You are so tight.
That's my line, I crack, moving my head side to side to give her more room. God, that feels good.
That's my line,
she laughs. Working out the knots that I didn't even realize were so apparent, I nearly melt in her hands. I can't remember feeling like this before, ever. Any time a woman has touched me, it's for a purpose. An end result with her as the beneficiary at the end. This? This is just for me.
You could use some yoga in your life, Mr. Landry.
Not my thing, I say, almost cringing as she really gets deep into the tissue.
It should be. At least some of it. It's really amazing.
She sighs.
My first of the month resolution is to find balance.
Your what?
Everyone does New Year's resolutions. I always fail by day 3. There's just so much pressure because everyone knows you're supposed to be walking 10,000 steps or not eating cake. It's horrible.
I'd never vow not to eat cake, I remark. That's absurd. She laughs, giving me one final squeeze.
I tried it once. I failed. Hence, these hips.
As she walks in front of my desk and sits across from me, we exchange a smile. I happen to really like those hips.
Anyway,
she blushes, changing the topic.
I'm doing a resolution each month. It's just something I want to work on and get better. Each month is roughly 30 days, and that's how long they say it takes to make a new habit.
So your new habit is balance?
Yes.
And here I was hoping it would be me, I whisper. Those words leave my mouth, and I regret them immediately. I mean them absolutely, but I don't want to lead her on that this can be a habit. It can't. It has to end at some point or find some way to fit in boundaries, and I'm not sure she's boundary-able. That's a completely different obstacle I can't figure out how to clear. Thankfully, she ignores my comment.
I think you need balance,
she says.
You do for all these people. I only know the tip of it, I'm sure, but you are the center of your entire family, Graham. And then you run this company like it's your baby.
It is my baby. I correct her.
That's what I'm saying.
She sighs.
When do you get to do Graham things? When do you relax? When do you get to be you and not in a suit?
I'm not sure what planet you're on, but I look damn good in the suit.
Stop changing the subject.
Look, while I'm honored you care so much about my dress code, I can assure you I'm fine. I'm doing what I love. This life I have, it's one I've created after a lot of thought and planning. There's nothing else I want or need that I don't already have. Her face falls, and I feel like a complete motherfucking asshole. I didn't see the shit I was stepping in, just explaining myself like I would to anyone. Except, she's not just anyone. I don't know who she is, but if I said she wasn't any different than Barrett or Linda, I'd be a liar. Although the next words are the complete opposite things I need to be saying, they're falling out of my mouth before I can stop them. Let's go to dinner. She shoots me a look that tells me just how confused she is.
What?
We worked our asses off today. Let's go get some nourishment.
Graham...
You said we both need balance, I point out, straightening my jacket back out as I stand. Let's get some dinner and some cake to offset the bullshit that's happened in here today. Her eyes light up, and it calms the anxiety building over my inability to think before I speak around her. Still, she doesn't answer. Come on, I goad, flicking off my computer and holding my hand out to her. Let me take you to dinner.
Ah, I only go to dinner with men that take me to places with real forks,
she teases. I don't think forks are your problem, I say, feeling her soft palm rest in mine. I think finding real men may be your issue. She shoves me with her free hand, and I find myself laughing out loud as we exit the office. Chapter 18. Graham.
Can you believe I've never been here?
Mallory looks at me with wide eyes as we near the entrance of Dalicon.
I almost forget it's even here. It's just tucked back here so neatly.
This is one of my favorite places in Savannah, I tell her. I give my name to the hostess, and she whisks us through the restaurant. With the large wooden beams crisscrossing the ceiling and warm walls set off with dark floors, it's a very relaxed place. The burnt orange paper lanterns and wall art give it a slight air of sophistication that I love. Once we're settled into a little table in the corner and have ordered wine, Mallory seems to relax.
This is stunning. I just want to look around, and that says something. I always want to eat.
She laughs. Soda and protein bars?
No,
she says, but stops when the waiter appears at our side. He starts to hand her a glass. As he does, he's bumped from behind and a splash of wine lands in Mallory's lap. Oh, I'm so sorry, he says, resting the serving tray on a vacant table and rushing to Mallory's side. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Here, let me get you something. As I start to extend a hand with my linen napkin, I'm stopped by her laugh.
Please.
She gushes to the waiter.
It was an accident. It's no problem, really.
But madam, I am so sorry. I should be more careful. I've just ruined your dress.
Please, Donnie,
she says, eyeing his name tag.
It's really no big deal. It'll clean, and if it doesn't, it's a dress. I'll survive.
Are you sure? Absolutely sure? He asks, stunned. Can I at least get you an appetizer? Let me do something. I tune out, unable to really focus on anything but the pure kindness in her eyes. Before long, she has him laughing along with her, and I'm speechless. Sir, what can I get you? Donnie asks. Shaking my head, I indicate off the menu what I want, and once he's gone, I smile at Mallory. That was pretty fantastic.
What?
She asks, dabbling the wet spot with a napkin, completely oblivious to what I'm referring to. How you handled that?
How was I supposed to handle it?
She asks, resting the linen next to her plate. Most women would have freaked out over that. You were worried about Donnie Boy. She takes a sip of her wine.
Eh? Accidents happen. God knows I've had my fair share. You heard the story I was telling him about the time I dumped an entire tray of margaritas in someone's lap. You just have to let some stuff go. Or maybe you just realize that once you've been in their shoes.
You were a waitress?
Yeah. I've done dishes, worked as a cashier once at a grocery store. That was the worst job I've had, actually. People just look at you like you're garbage.
She frowns.
I've worked in a beauty shop, cleaning up tanning beds after the people leave, and sweeping up hair and stuff.
When? High school? Now?
My whole life.
She shrugs.
I did a lot of those while I was in high school. I'd go to school and then work the hours I was allowed under the law. And then sometimes, I'd work at another place and they'd just pay me under the table so I didn't get in trouble with school.
That must have been really hard, I note. Thinking about how hard I thought it was going to school and helping Dad out on the weekends. She smiles.
It wasn't easy, but that discipline got me where I am today.
Her finger runs around the rim of her glass as she thinks.
It's where my work ethic comes from. If I wanted a tank of gas or car insurance, I had to get the money for it. If I wanted the fancy jeans with the sparkly pockets, I had to hustle for that. It sucked then, but I'm not afraid to work now for what I have. Or what I want.
She looks at me, her eyes shining in the dim light.
That's why I respect you so much, Graham. I see your work ethic, and I admire that. There aren't a lot of people that will just do the job, you know?
Yeah, I know. I chuckle. I replaced your position about 14 times before you showed up. The waiter places our food in front of us. He takes a minute to chat with Mallory, making sure she's completely happy and comfortable. Watching her get doted on is amusing, and witnessing her sweetness shine with Donnie is special. It's not something I've seen often. So, I say, what do you want to do with yourself? You don't want anything in the field of medicine, that we know. What are you thinking?
Honestly?
She slices her chicken breast carefully, her lips pressing together. Finally, she shrugs.
I don't know.
How do you not know? Her hair swishes back and forth as she shakes her head.
I told Joy I'm having a midlife crisis.
She half laughs.
I spent my entire life, since turning 18, doing what I needed to do, or what Eric wanted me to do.
I don't think I like him.
I don't. So that's two of us.
She sighs.
I let him manipulate me. In the moment, I didn't realize it, but I see it now.
I set my silverware on the edge of my plate and look at her. What happened with him? Do you mind me asking? Her fork drops too.
When I told him I was dropping out, he went ballistic. He said I was a liability to him. A nobody that would never amount to anything. There was something in the way he said it that time.
He'd said those things before? I bite out, feeling my irritation soar. She shrugs, trying to play it off.
Maybe, but that time. He just made me feel really bad. I don't know why it was different that time than before. It was just a really ugly argument.
Explain ugly, I say, narrowing my eyes.
No,
she says, reading between the lines.
Nothing happened. God, no. He's still alive. If he would have hurt me physically, I'd be locked up.
Mental abuse and physical abuse are no different, Mallory.
I know,
she whispers.
But I made a decision that day that I'd had enough. I was at this point where I felt so put in a corner. Does that make sense? Like my whole life was being scripted by somebody else. I've never done anything I wanted to do.
I fiddle with the corner of my napkin.
And it's not like he even promised me the world for hanging in there. He told me flat out we had no future.
He sounds like a complete tool.
Apparently I'm just the dating kind, not the kind for marriage.
Her eyes flick to mine with a sadness that slays me. I reach for her hand. You know what I think?
What's that?
I think he's right. Her gaze drops to the table, her shoulders slumping. I grin. You are just the dating kind for a guy like that. He doesn't deserve to keep you long term. The corners of her cheeks start to bend, but she doesn't smile. I work harder for it. You are young, beautiful, smart. You have the whole world at your feet, Mallory. Why would you stifle your potential by staying with someone that wants to keep you in a box? She perks up. The smile I'm dying to see starts to slide across her cheeks.
You think so?
I know so. Now you just need a plan, and I happen to be an excellent planner. I chuckle. What do you want to do with yourself?
I was telling Sienna the other day that I might open a yoga studio someday.
And? She shrugs. That's it? I ask. You want to maybe open a yoga studio at some point in the future?
Yeah, that's it.
She says defensively.
Look, Graham, I'm starting all over. I know that's hard for you to understand being who you are, but I'm doing the best I can to basically recreate dreams and decide who I am in the midst of my life.
Hey, I say, reaching for her hand and placing mine on top of it. I didn't mean anything by that. It came out as a jerk thing, and I didn't mean it like that at all. I was wrong.
I know I get protective over myself right now. I'm just so afraid I'll slip and end up in some position where I'm cut down.
I'd never cut you down. The only people who cut others down are those threatened by their height. The higher you get, the more lovely I think you are. Her cheeks flush. Her hand rolls over and she squeezes mine.
That's very nice of you to say.
I only speak the truth. She relaxes in her chair.
So, tell me about you, Graham. What are your life plans?
I just want to keep doing what I'm doing until I can't, I say simply. This business is my life. Growing up, I just wanted to be my dad, not emulate him or pretend to be him. I wanted to be him. When he stepped back and made me president of the company, it was the proudest day of my life. You know, my father sort of passing the torch.
That's awesome.
She grins.
But I feel like everything you do and say has to do with the business. What about outside of that? You have this huge family. Do you want that too?
I bring my hand away from hers slowly. I don't think I'll have a family as large as mine, no. I mean, there are six of us, and I'm not getting any younger. I chuckle.
But do you want kids? Is a family a part of your future?
Taking a sip of wine, I consider her question. More than that, I consider it in context of who she is and who I am, and what this is between us. Or what it could be. And what I'm capable of letting it be. Maybe someday, I say. Figuring that's fair enough. I'm not averse to having a family. Clearly, I love having a big family, and I think that having children is always a blessing. But it's not something I think I'm ready for right now, nor do I think I'll be ready for it in the foreseeable future.
I didn't think so.
She almost whispers. Her features glow as the candle in the middle of the table dances back and forth. She tosses me a smile, trying too hard to look natural, and takes a sip of her wine. What about you? I ask, already knowing the answer.
A family? Someday, yeah. Absolutely. I hope to have a family of my own. I'm not sure what the point of life is otherwise.
She glances at me softly.
I'll be honest. I like being in a relationship. I like the teamwork aspect of it, and making dinner, and going grocery shopping. I grew up watching my parents do those things together. They enjoyed that, looked forward to it. Maybe it was all they had together, I don't know. It just seems like a part of my life that really makes life... life.
Well, my parents certainly didn't grocery shop together, I say, trying to imagine my dad with a shopping cart. But I can understand what you're saying. For some people, relationships work. I look her square in the eye. They just aren't for me. My chest tightens, my stake threatening to come up as I watch the fire in her eye start to wane. A part of me wants to grab her hand and tell her I want to have her in my life in some capacity. What that is, I don't know. But that wouldn't be fair to either of us.
I'm going to use the restroom,
she says, scooting her chair back. I'll order the cake.
What?
Cake, Mallory. We're having cake, I say, trying to win back that smile.
Make it vanilla with a vanilla icing.
Really? I ask. Their dessert menu is 2 pages long, and you're getting vanilla cake with vanilla icing.
I figure vanilla has fewer calories than chocolate. This is balancing out the 3 sodas I had today.
She winks and takes off, leaving me chuckling behind her.
Mallory. I follow Graham through a short hallway and into a wide-open kitchen. Dark wood floors and cabinets make the large stainless steel appliances pop. Light flows in from the bright moon outside the windows, but the room also glows from soft lights under the cabinetry. His house is in a subdivision bordering a golf course, which surprised me when we arrived. I expected him to live somewhere more private, maybe even out of town, but he doesn't. Still, it's incredibly peaceful here, almost like you leave the city and step into another place altogether. It smells of his sandalwood cologne mixed with something crisp, clean, intoxicating. Graham takes my coat and lays it over the back of one of the tall stools lining the island along with a suit jacket.
Can I get you a drink? Something to eat?
We just had dinner, I remind him.
I know. It's just years of manners embedded into me by my mother. Never invite someone over and not offer them food and a drink.
He watches me in the way he does for a long moment. I feel the ripple of uncertainty that's been wedged between us since our talk of the yoga studio and families. Dessert was nice, and our conversation flowed like normal, but I could feel something a little heavier on our minds. The car ride here was quiet, soft music playing in his SUV. The only words really spoken were him asking if we could swing by here for some papers, before he returns me to my car at Landry Holdings. Now looking at him over his kitchen island, I'm not sure what to think. Maybe he doesn't either.
Thank you for going with me to dinner tonight,
he says finally. It was nice. Thanks for asking me. He roughs his hands down his face before reaching for my hand and leading me to a set of French doors. He opens them, and we slide out onto a patio. The air is chilly, and I shiver. He immediately pulls me into his side and runs his hand up and down my arm.
We can go back in,
he offers.
I just thought you'd like it out here. Watch this.
Grinning, he goes to a large stone fireplace and flips a switch. Flames begin to dance inside. That's awesome, I laugh, curling up on the love seat facing the fire. The fence has a row of thick pine trees on the inside, creating a barrier from the homes on either side and the golf course behind the house. It creates a little nook of privacy that feels like a fairy tale. I could get used to this. As he sits beside me, the flame shooting shadows over his face, I realize just how breathtakingly handsome he really is when the stress of the day is gone. This is how you relax, isn't it? Sitting here by the fire?
Sometimes.
With a gentle hand, he takes my arm and pulls me against him. My breath catches in my throat at the contact. It's more intimate, more connected than I've been with him before. And on top of our conversation earlier, I'm not sure what I think of that. My head is on his chest. I gaze past the patio and onto the golf course. Do you golf?
A little. It's a good place to hammer out business deals,
he says.
Dad golfs pretty well. Barrett hates it. Link is an asshole to golf with because he's so fucking good and doesn't even try.
What about Ford?
Ford can. I mean, he's decent. He just doesn't really spend his time on those things.
His hands run up and down my arm again. If I didn't watch it, I could pretend that this was more than it is.
Ford takes serious things seriously and fun things for what they are. He really is probably the best out of us all.
I don't know.
What do you not know?
He says, angling his head to look at me. His eyes shine in the low light. I happen to think you're the best out of them all. He chuckles, letting his hand fall to the small of my back.
That's nice of you to say.
It's true. Barrett is so charismatic, Ford charming, and Lincoln is so... Graham flips me a look, almost a warning.
He's so what, Mallory?
He goads me. So Lincoln. I try giggling. But you're all of those things.
I don't think I'm charming.
You are so